This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech Talk underway here on this Saturday at News Talk 830 WCCO. Doug Swindehart is joining us. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to get a hold of us on the CCO Talk and text line 651-461-9226. Doug, good to visit with you. And this is March. We had a beautiful day on Friday, and now we got wind and we got cold today. You never know what it's going to be like, and you heard Al's forecast a moment ago. Mm-hmm. We're really up and down right now.
Well, you know, it takes me about 25 seconds to get spoiled with the good weather.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday I spent nearly the entire day out on my patio. I just love that weather. And it was a little bit of a shock today, but still, it's March. It's Minnesota.
Yeah, you can even say that for April and a lot of May as well. You never know what you're going to get. But Friday was lovely. Back at it today here on Tech Talk. And if you want to reach the program, once again, 651-461-9226. And, Doug, I got something really cool from my bank. And I want to share this. And it's not important the name of the bank, but they have been sending out texts as of late, and it's just tips. And this particular tip was to avoid a fraud, and it was banking specific. And what it said is, if someone calls looking for your PIN number saying that something happened, The bank said, we will never call and ask for your PIN number. And that is a very important point. And we have brought that up for years on the program. Mm-hmm. Big banks, credit card companies, etc. Maybe wherever you bought your computer, if you have a Dell or an HP or whatever, or a Mac, the odds of them calling you directly and saying, you know, we need your information, because that should be a gigantic red flag. They will not do that. They will not call you and ask for that info.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. I had an interesting experience this week myself, Steve. I got Apple Cash on my iPhone, of course, and I signed up 2 years ago for GoodRx, and 6 months ago, I canceled it because my insurance is paying all my drugs. So no reason to pay $100 a year, $90 a year, whatever it was. And it's been canceled. I went on the website. I called them. Done. They renewed it automatically. And I, wait a minute. So I call Apple. Apple gets me in touch with greenbankcorp.net. And that's apparently what handles their transactions for their cash, Apple Cash. And the only thing that I can think of is the app on my iPhone on its own picked up and renewed this thing within my iPhone. And Apple is hot. Just give that a little thought. I would have never anticipated that. Because I canceled it on my desktop. Apparently, I should have completely removed the app from my iPhone as well. But there's no information to that whatsoever. Just a little heads up as to how automation can get you. And I still haven't gotten my rebate yet from GoodRx, but I anticipate by Tuesday or Wednesday it'll all be cleared up. Yeah, that's the one thing. When you got a large corporation behind you, it really pays.
Yeah, and you know, the thing, Doug, about any of this stuff, and getting back to the fraud or things you sign up for online, every now and then, I will kind of do an audit and look through my credit card statements and see, oh, there's a reoccurring charge. Do I even use that? Consumer Reports is one that I do use from time to time. If I'm in the market for a bigger purchase, like, say, a refrigerator, or a year ago, I bought a new lawnmower, and I use that. It's an outstanding resource. But I don't feel the need to pay for it year-round, that I'll jump in, subscribe, do the research I need to do. Sometimes I forget and bail out, and it's going, hey, I haven't used it in a while, and I need to cancel. There's no reason to pay every month for something I don't do. Now, there are services that you can get that will kind of monitor that for you, but it also gets back to, that concerns me as well, because a lot of information is aggregated in one spot. But that little thing I do with those reoccurring subscriptions, just review that credit card statement. Once again, you and I have talked about it. I'm not a big fan of using a debit card, something tied directly to your bank account. I like the firewalls that credit card companies have built in. I just don't like anything that's tied directly to my bank account. I'm very leery of that.
Oh, I agree. Unless it's a house payment and your checking account is at the same place where you got your mortgage.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, I have often wondered why these businesses, Consumer Reports is a good example. Angie's List is another example. Instead of trying to tie people into a recurring annual subscription, just charge a per occurrence, a per use. I don't know why they're not doing that. I think they would make more money doing that. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm sure when you were looking for your lawnmower, they said, Steve, we need 99 cents to let you use us for a day. You'd say, okay. You'd give them a dollar, and that would be it. You would use it. There would be no obligation, no automatic renewals. It's billed as something for your convenience, but I agree. And these services, no matter what, you have to monitor that as well. It's going to have some responsibility on the end user's part, no matter what. I looked at that and I thought it sounded like a really good deal for a while, but I'm the same way. The less people who have information that is this personal, the better. And I am of the exact same mindset.
Yeah, and just to follow up, like I say, I'm not going to promote the bank that I bank with. It's not important, but I really did appreciate the info they sent, and then I thought I would share that. Specifically in this case, this particular bank said, we will never call and ask you for your PIN. And that's just flat out. So if somebody is calling, pretending they're from the bank, looking for your PIN, never give that information out. And then they went further to explain, beyond that, if they do get their PIN, say that we need to retrieve your debit card, for instance. And then, of course, you've given them the keys to the kingdom. They have the card and your PIN number, which goes without saying, is a major no-no. So anybody from any financial institution asking, hey, can I get your name? Can I get your number? I'm in the middle of something else. Can I call you back? Then take the time to research this. I'm willing to bet 99.9% of the time or more, it's a scam.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, and these people are very, very smooth.
Oh.
They're very smooth. Yeah. They'll say things about the bank that really nobody else but the bank or credit card company should know. They do their due diligence to where they know how to speak to people to get them to open up. And it's critical that you maintain that privacy. And it surprised me when I was working with this issue that I was having with Apple required my Social Security number. And it took me a while to give it to them. I told them right out, I said, you know, I have never, ever given that out over the internet or over the phone. Probably the last 40 years. I just never have. It really surprised me. But the flip side to that was I called Apple, so I know where I'm talking to. And there's no question on the phone, it says Apple, and it was my number to call them. So it's I was comfortable doing this. There's no doubt that they destroyed that as soon as they got done using it to verify who I was, and we moved on forward from there. But, yeah, this was a real enlightening experience for me, too, because if you happen to forget something or there's a lot of automation, and they'll program their computers so if there's an error, they're going to program it in their favor. Maybe it's innocent. But I would have thought that if that's the case, they've seen this before. Maybe not. We'll have to just wait and see how this plays out.
Yeah, there's one other item we brought up in the program before. I'm a believer in this, and you certainly want to, you know, get advice from others as well. But it goes back years. I had my wallet stolen. I've told this story before on the show. And one of the things I got advice at the time was put a hold on your credit report.
Yep.
And that is the biggies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion are the big three. And you can freeze that and lock those down. And it's important when you do that, you got to go through some steps and work with them. But then you can lock that down. And then you do get a PIN, and you don't want to lose that. So if you do want to open a credit account, you can open it for a short period of time and let the car dealer or the bank or whomever take a look at your credit report, and then you can lock it down again or put a freeze or a hold on it. And then that'll make sure, because let's face it, in this day and age, personal information is floating around out there, if you will. And my daughter, she got a notice and said, one of the companies she deals with said, we may have had a data breach. And I told her, I said, let's take time this weekend and sit down. We'll go to these credit bureaus. I'll show you how to unlock and get in there and get an account set up with these people. And then in turn, put a freeze or a hold on your credit account. So at least people can't open credit accounts in your name.
And so, they can't do anything without that. So that really is a great stop. I would like to see the day come where that would become the default for everybody. And people would have to actually open it up to have somebody run their credit bureau. I would like to see that. These little simple things could be put into place with just small law changes, and it would take care of probably 80-90% of this. It's like the phones being unlocked after you get it paid for with your provider. Leave it locked. If I'm going to change phone providers, I should have to unlock it.
Correct.
That would be a simple fix. Simple fix.
Yeah, and I think there should be those protections for individuals, considering that there doesn't seem to be great consequences for companies playing fast and loose with your personal information. And you and I have talked about this a great deal, that these companies have all this information about you, but here's a letter, sorry, you know, we had a breach, sorry, you know, someone on our staff let somebody in or whatever, and your data is out there. Sorry. Yeah. You know, it doesn't seem like there are enough consequences for the bad behavior or lackadaisical behavior.
Oh, I agree too. This is it really is. It's way out of hand. And if again, I'm not a lawyer, but if you spend a little time reading through those contracts that when we got 10 seconds to go through 700 pages when we're trying to do something online.
Right.
But if you download it and you read it, almost every one of them says, "Oh, here's how we're going to use your data. Us and our partners." Well, who are your partners? They don't even have to put who their partners are in there. So how can you tell where the information really was corrupted? Where did it all get sent to? That disturbs me also. Us and our partners. Well, I know for sure I can't begin to imagine how many partners Google has, but it's a lot. Microsoft, it's a lot. Facebook, it's a lot. So when you hand somebody that information, us and our partners, that's a huge statement. That's almost as egregious in my mind as up to. That's another one gets me. Yeah,
yeah.
These corporations, I think it's time that people start focusing a little bit more on consumer protection.
All right, Doug, quick break. We'll come back and go to the phone lines. And it is the CCO Talk and Text line, 651-461-9226. We're going to talk about an iPhone when we come back and all the updates, frequent updates for their iPhone. And we're going to talk about pictures and how effectively to move those around and where to store your photos. We'll get into all of that with Doug. You're always welcome to call. Still plenty of time. Doug's here through the news at 4 o'clock here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. And we are back. It is Tech Talk. And, Doug, we want to go to the phone lines. Lawrence has been waiting. Lawrence, you're on CCO.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yep.
Sure.
My own stupidity, I clicked on a job hunting email and responded, and then I forgot to check the address, and it was spam. So I get about 5 similar ones every day. I'm more conscious of it, and they're all fake. Anything I can do to undo the damage that you can think of?
If it's a Gmail account, you want to mark it as spam and report it as abusive. That's your first deal. Depending on what you're using to get your email, I would set up a filter or a rule that says as soon as that comes in from this particular domain, it gets deleted and marked as spam and marked as abusive. And that way it's automatic. You don't even have to see it. I wouldn't suggest that you click the unsubscribe. A lot of these unsubscribes are just going to take your address and throw it out to hundreds and hundreds of brand new spammers just like them. So try to avoid that. But figure out how to set up a rule or a filter in your email and be done with it. And then you're good to go. But you shouldn't have to look at that. And by the way, it's okay you made a mistake. We're all human. Yeah, time to just fix it and move on.
Yeah, and Doug, I think that's really a great point. I've had my personal account, I have a Gmail, and as I mentioned, I'm starting to play around a little bit with Proton. I'm not using it or getting that email out to anybody because I'm just getting familiar with it and so on and so forth, taking my time. But I have an old Yahoo account that I've used for a long time, and this Gmail account's been around for years now. And the spam filters are pretty good. If you mark an inbound email is spam or go beyond that and take the next step and say, hey, this is getting out of hand,
they
will take action. They're pretty good about that.
Indeed. Yeah, and especially your bigger companies, Apple, Google. If you got an email account with Yahoo, Google, or Apple, stuff like that, they're going to respond. And if they're getting those marked as abusive from one person, they're probably getting them marked abusive from thousands. When that happens, it happens within a day. And the end result could be where Google blacklists the domain name. Oh, is that difficult to unwind? And that came from the days when people were doing mass mailings and they were doing hundreds of thousands of emails a day in the background while they were working. And it seemed like free advertising, but it just got out of hand. So, yeah, if a domain name gets blacklisted, there's really tough to undo. Really tough.
Yeah. 3:30. And by the way, we'll go to the text line following a brief weather break. There is a lot of weather going on around the country and here in the upper Midwest. We'll get into iPhones. We'll talk about transfer pictures between two phones. We'll get into all of that here in a moment. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug, computers, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to reach out on the talk and text line. The number again, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk here on a Saturday, and we're on the air each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock, sports schedules permitting. Now, if you missed the show or part of the show, don't worry. Go online, WCCRadio.com. Take advantage of the podcast and spread the word. You can listen to the show anytime. Once again, we invite you to take part of those podcasts. We've been doing the show for a number of years. Once again, Doug Swinhart is aboard. And if you want to reach his show, you can do so on the talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Doug, this is a good one. My iPhone frequently wants to run an update. I don't like the changes that then occur. Can I ignore those updates?
A quick answer? No. And in fact, it was just last week, Apple issued an urgent warning to all iPhone users to update that they discovered a vulnerability that is not widespread, but can have people taking control of your phones, whether it's near field or I guess they're even concerned with it being remotely. So you want to update your iPhones as soon as possible. And as far as changes, you really shouldn't see any change to your user interface or how you've got it laid out. Your updates from Apple generally are nearly invisible unless there's a feature addition. You've got to keep those up to date if you want to stay secure. And in fact, I just updated mine to 18.3.2, and Apple is already urging people to get ready for 18.3.3, and they're saying you're going to need this one too. So they're in the process of fixing something that has been visible to them since 18.2, and every update is crucial. It really is crucial. It's a vulnerability that, as rare as that is, but they're on top of it. And I like the fact that I was able to say it wasn't widespread. That's very good. Yes, get your updates.
Yeah, it is important. And once again, you want the phone plugged in, and you want it connected to the Wi-Fi in the house and have that done overnight. You can also do an update if you're just sitting there and want to watch the update. Typically, I do that overnight. And this gets into something that we haven't talked a lot about recently, and that is with all your devices, I'm a big believer, I know you are as well, on shutting these devices down overnight once a week. Now, obviously, you don't want to shut it down if you're due for an update, but if not, sometimes just power that thing all the way down and let it take the night off.
It's really healthy for all digital equipment that's connected to the internet to take that step. I think that it should just be added to the Computer User 101 book and just become a permanent part of the easy-to-do maintenance list. Because it really doesn't take any effort. Just shut it off. Go to bed, turn it on when you wake up. That little respite will just add years of life to your system, gives it a chance to really let the buffers just drain all out. Yeah, I think it's important. I truly do. And I'm glad to see that you've made it a part of your best practice routine as well, Steve.
Yeah, work computer Monday through Friday. I'll power it up on a Monday. Usually leave it powered up all week. Shut it down on a Friday when I go home for the weekend. Computers here at home, same thing. If I'm not going to use them for a while, I power them all the way down. And then my phone, it's easy to get into the habit where your phone's just up and running 24/7. But I do whatever night that is, I'll go. And you could do it every night. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. But I think it is a good idea to shut it all the way down. And because I would assume some people, once they take it out of the box, that thing's running 24/7, 365. And, you know, I'm not a particular fan of that.
No, I'm not either. And sometimes I got to tell Nancy, just shut your phone off. Hers is her alarm clock. It's her notepad.
Oh, yeah, it's everything.
You know, it's like her life. And, of course, it connects to the Facebook and FaceTime with all the kids and grandkids and great-grandchildren. So, yeah, but you got to shut them down. At the very least, restart them. But shutting them down is a better practice. It really is. And so once in a while, I'll just say, listen, I'm going to take the internet down for about 2 hours, and you might as well shut off your phone. Yeah. So, but we do that late at night so she doesn't miss any calls. But yeah, it really is necessary. In my opinion, I think it's just become a crucial part of normal maintenance.
Yeah, and Doug, let's go back to our text line. By the way, it's still time if you want to reach Doug, 651-461-9226. And that is there a good way to transfer apps and photos and other data between one phone and another? And I've had an iPhone for years, and it's super easy. You just use iCloud, and boom, you're good to go.
Yeah, I think when it comes to apps, and I'm not really certain about this, but I think with apps, you have to actually reinstall them, but it's a piece of cake. And if it's a subscription-type app where you paid for it, I think it'll do it automatic. But keep in mind that your photos and your email and your data for your phone and your iPad and your iPods, it really should be web-based. It should be up in the cloud. And that's the same for Android as well. You know, put it up into a Google account or if you happen to have iDrive or some other service. But yeah, you want it web-based. If it's web-based, everything is just a piece of cake. All your addresses are up there. So when you do get a new device, you log on to that account, everything reappears almost like magic. And then the apps, I'm still a believer, Steve, that when it comes to apps, you want to keep these to a minimum. There's some apps that you really want and you should have and you can have. But make sure you know who you're working with. Check out their website. See if they've got a good record for support. But keep your apps to a minimum. Most of the problems that take place with a smartphone, it's going to come in from an app. And Google or Android, nobody that sells Android phones is checking the apps, and iPhone doesn't have time to check them all either. So it's kind of self-correcting here. So I like to keep them to a minimum and just keep my phone fresh and clean.
Quick break. We'll have more when we come back. We'll get into that Amazon photo service. So if you have an Amazon Prime account, good place to store photos, etc., and move those around. It really is extraordinary. And we'll get Doug's thoughts on that, on using your Prime account and photos. I'm a little leery of it. We can get into that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. We're on the air between 3 and 4. Twin schedules permitting as we get into the regular season. We may or may not be on, depending on when the Twins play, once the season gets started. But you can always catch the show online, WCCRadio.com. It is WCCO Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us here. And Doug, I want to get into this. As someone brought up, if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, they have photos. Get this. Prime members get free unlimited full resolution photo storage and 5 gigabytes of video storage at Amazon. Now, I do have a Prime membership, have had it for a long time, and use it occasionally. I'm just wondering, that's a lot of eggs in one basket, you know.
It is.
And it's free with a Prime membership. I don't know if I would go that route, but it is an option.
Well, you know, funny thing that you're talking about this, because we had mentioned this, I think, a week or two ago as well. And so I jumped on and I just went to Amazon and I put in the Amazon search box, I put out Amazon Prime Unlimited Photo Storage and hit enter. And I go, well, Nancy apparently saved a whole bunch of pictures to our Prime box years and years and years ago. And they're all up there. And I said, well, and there's nothing shared. Nobody else has access to it but within her account. But I was just amazed that they were there. And I think I mentioned this to her. I said, you know, you've gone to Italy and you want to keep those photos. That is a nice, kind of a nice little touch. I believe it's very, very safe and secure. You know, Amazon AWS, Amazon World Services, is their internet business. It's much, much bigger than what most people know. And they're doing good work. They're doing really good work. So, yeah, if you got a Prime account, by all means, especially when they're going to take the raw photo, they're going to take the whole thing. If it's 12 megapixel, they don't care.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. You know, if the world jumps on this, this could require an awful lot of disk space coming up real quick. But, you know, so far, but I believe they'll live up to it anyway. It's an interesting concept. And the pictures, by the way, Steve, look brilliant. I mean, they're just perfect. And it's all categorized by date. And I'm sure you can go in and rename them. But I like it. It's great. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at pictures of grandkids when they were children, 20 years old. I really like it. I love it.
Yeah, it is one of those where it starts to get into, you know, how many eggs are you, and we've talked about that a little bit with Google and Gmail, and we've talked about it for a long time and all the things that, you know, are offered for free, and then you can buy a little bit more storage. I would assume at some point that this might become a paid service or a tag on. Right now it's free.
I'm thinking the same thing.
And you got to be concerned about that on some level, that they at some point may want some money, that the unlimited storage may not be unlimited down the road.
Well, and this is really kind of a marketing technique that's kind of internet-wide as well. Well, we'll throw it out there for nothing and see how popular it is. And if it's popular, well, then we'll ask for a little bit today and a little bit more a month from now and a little bit more next year. And, well, and before you know it, we've got a tremendously profitable business. Yeah, this is it's kind of an internet thing that's a phenomena that I've seen. But, you know, and people react to this word free. But be aware, it's not free. Somewhere along the line, we are going to pay for it.
Well, you got to pay for your Prime membership. That's not free. I mean, it's a bonus to a paid subscription. So
yeah. Well, and then, too, you know, a lot of people have their Prime account just strictly for the TV, and now that's even changed. If you want commercial free, you got to pay like $5 a month or something.
Yeah.
And then the commercials aren't overbearing. I mean, it's not every 5 minutes or anything like that, but I think Prime TV has kind of lost something. You're sitting here looking for something to watch, and you might not notice that, well, yeah, but this is you got to have a trial to Paramount, or it's a trial to Stars, or it's get that out of there if I don't want to look at it. And so that's I noticed too that Netflix did something unique. Just last week I saw that you could sort by language. That's a huge plus for Netflix. I think that they should all be doing this.
Yeah, a lot of options out there when it comes to entertainment online. One before we run out of time on the program, and this is a biggie. Someone's not happy with their current virus protection anti-malware. Doug, once again, what do you recommend for people right now? If you had to pick antivirus malware protection, what's number one in your book?
I'd probably buy the low-level of Bitdefender. It's just a great little program. It doesn't take hardly any resources. It's always up to date, easy to install, easy to monitor. And, of course, my second would be Malwarebytes. I've been my friends for years and years and years. And I think those two, and you're good to go. But you're really going to need something special. And they're talking that with Windows 12 when it comes out, that even Microsoft might even recommend an outside antivirus. So we don't know yet. So, but it's important that that these people are thinking in those terms, and hats off to them.
Yeah, and Doug, one other quickie before we get your phone number and email. And this is when they get an iPhone update, sometimes that their Bluetooth will be on. Sometimes it'll turn on the hotspot, et cetera. And I think to maintain battery life in particular, turning off the hotspot capability on your phone when not in use is a good one.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is I probably would be looking for the app that did that. Could it be an app?
Yeah.
It really could.
Okay.
So you can't blame Apple for everything, but that I would be searching for through the apps. But you're right. If you don't need Bluetooth, shut it off. You really don't.
Yeah, so the hotspot, if you're not using that, I'd shut that off as well. All right, Doug, we're very tight on time. Phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. ADMIN at wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you, Steve, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. We'll do it again 1 week from now. Twins play a noon game in the Grapefruit League. We have all the news, all the weather. Steve Kearney takes us outdoors. Jazz Myers talks Wild hockey coming up. And the sun went-